Hi, everybody. It's really good to be here. I hope you had a good time. Apologies for my voice. Yeah, I sound a little bit hoarse. Traveled down to see Saracens beat Gloucester yesterday, which was really great fun. I felt earlier, does anybody find themselves surrounded by lots of heathens and non-Christians? Just put your hands up. Okay. Does any of those people who you're surrounded by, do they swear a lot? Do they drink a lot? And are their morals slightly dubious? Any of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who are you mentioning?
It's just the staff people, you know, members of staff, you know what they're like. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that you would shine with the love of Jesus on those people. Because I've got all the friends that I sort of go to these rugby matches. They're quite interesting, but they're just like their life is normal. Some of them are the most rich. I'm not even joking. Some of them are multi millionaires, and some of them are just, you know, they work on building sites. But there is something I think about the love of Jesus that can shine amongst those people. And I pray that God gives us a real anointing to be totally, totally uncompromising in our faith. And to know how to do that. And when everybody else is buying pints and pints of beers and you're still drinking lime and soda again, you know. I just think, no, God, there's something of God's goodness that can shine through. So anyway, let me just pray. Father, I want to thank you so much that you don't call us just to be tucked away in ourselves. But Lord, you want your life and your light and your goodness to shine amongst men. And I want to pray, Holy Spirit, would there be a fresh anointing that would fall on every single person here who finds themselves so often actually surrounded by people who don't know you and maybe don't even want to know you. But I believe God is saying there is a day of my life flowing from you, like rivers of living water. Yeah. And my life and my goodness and my favor will flow from you as you come to me and worship me, says the Lord. And I want to pray for a real wisdom to come on us, Lord, to know what to say and when to say it. But we pray, Lord, that there would be many people that would give their lives to you, King Jesus, because we've been bold in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And to be honest, it made it almost so much easier because Saracens thrashed Gloucester. Anyway, let's not go into that, shall we? We are at the end of our week and end of our series on Transformed. I hope you have really enjoyed it as we've just looked at these becoming healthy in seven key areas of our lives. And we've gone through it over the weeks on Sundays, and then we've gone through it midweek as well. And this week, we are looking at the whole thing of how can we be healthy in our work lives, you know, and how can we have a good understanding of what it means to be working, and how can we do everything that we're doing, whatever it is. And sometimes work isn't always the stuff that earns us money. Sometimes we have to get up and we have to go and see people, and sometimes our lives are based at home, you know, but actually it's about what do we do most of the time during our day? How can God be glorified in that? That's what we're looking at this week. But today we are looking at something else. We are looking more about how can we overcome some of the giants that we face in our lives. Some of the big things out there that we just become so fearful of, how can we overcome them? And I suspect that for every one person that faces up to their fears and stares their fears down, there are probably nine of us who are too timid to do that. But there's a little bit maybe that thinks, I wonder what would happen if amongst us as a church, there were more of us that were able to say, no, look, this is what I think God has called me to do. And these are the giants in the way, but actually I'm not going to let those giants prevail. I'm going to step through them and believe that God is going to use me powerfully. I think also it's a really helpful model because what we're saying as a church is that our model of discipleship, how we want to grow closer to God is this, that we want to say, what is God saying to you and how are you going to do it? What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about what God is saying to you? Because it's really good to hear what God is saying to us. That's fantastic. Great. But it's not so good if we then just go home and do absolutely nothing about it. But sometimes we need to be bold and courageous to actually step into what God has called us to do. And it won't be easy. And there'll be things that all these things will become pressing on us. No, you don't want to do that. No. But no, we need to step into it. I don't know if Io Alanian here this morning? Or is he out in kids? He's not. I just know that Io and Kenny Alanian, they've for years had this thing about establishing this charity to help people who are going through domestic violence. It's, you know, Love Doesn't Hurt. It's that little purple sign up there. Love Doesn't Hurt, Domestic Violence UK. And we've supported them like for years. But actually what they, Io and Kenny, they saw what God had spoken to them about. And they thought, do you know what? We're just going to get this thing going. And over the years, they've just plugged away at it. And they've done all sorts of events, but they're fantastic. They saw something and they've overcome some giants to see something get established. Anyone want to hazard a guess about what Bible passages we're going to read this morning? Anybody? David and Goliath. That's too obvious, isn't it? Turn, please, to 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And we're going to read the story, you've guessed it, of David and Goliath. Okay. We're going to read the first 7 verses of this, and then we're going to go up. 1 Samuel 17, verses 1 to 7 we'll read. And I'm reading from the NLT version of the Bible. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Socah in Judah and Azekah at the Ephes Damin. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. And then Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel, and he was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. And he also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. And the shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam. I don't know how thick a weaver's beam is, but let's just say it was thick. And tipped with a weaver's beam, it was with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. And his armor bearer walked ahead of him, carrying a shield. We're going to go through different passages as that the story unfolds, but it's the rest of chapter 17 that we'll be looking at. The first thing that I want to just to say, the first giant really that David had to face in defeating Goliath was this. It was just the giant of delay. If we go back a little bit to the previous chapters, 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul, King Saul, was rejected as king of Israel. He had walked away from God. He had not sought to honor God in everything that he did. And so he had been rejected as king. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel has to go and find the new king of Israel. And Samuel goes and God says to Samuel, I want you to go to the man from Bethlehem called Jesse, because one of his sons is going to be the new king. Now, you may know this story or you may not know this story, but Samuel basically rocks up on Jesse's place, his farm, and says, right, Samuel, I want you to bring all your sons out to me. He had 8 sons. I want you to bring all your sons before me, because I don't know which one it is, but one of your sons is going to be anointed the new king of Israel. And so the first son came and walked past Samuel, and he sort of like Samuel looked him up and down and said, it's okay, but no, I don't think so. The second one came past and he's thinking, no, I don't think it's that one either. The third one came past, and then the fourth, and then the fifth, and then the sixth, and then the seventh son came past, and I think Samuel was probably getting a little bit desperate and he's thinking, is none of these. The seventh son came and Samuel looked at him and he said, it's not that one either. And Jesse was saying, well, and Samuel said, have you not got any other sons at all? Is there nobody else? And Jesse said, well, yeah, there is, but not really. There is, but he's sort of like doing a few chores. He's looking after a few sheep. He's probably a bit smelly. And he's sort of like, he's the smallest, he's the littlest. And Jesse just discounted him. But then Samuel said, no, what you idiot, go get him out, bring him in. And then in walked this young boy. And he said he was handsome and he was ruddy. He'd been out in the fields. And what did Samuel say? That's the man. That's the one. That's the one that is going to be anointed, the king of Israel. And it goes back, and then he says that Samuel anointed David as king of Israel. By the way, Saul still thought he was king, just so you know. David, imagine David, this young lad. Come on, king of Israel, bargain. Well, right, I think I'll just get ready for this thing. And then Jesse, his dad, came out. And I think, I don't know if David was expecting Jesse to say, oh, all hail, king of Israel. But actually what Jesse said to David was this. Out you go, boy. Back to the sheep. Oh, no. King of Israel. Back out to the sheep. Go and look after the sheep. You know, David had quite a big delay. He knew this thing. He thought, oh no, this is it. This is who I am. But he just had to go back. And he had to go back to what he was doing before. There was this delay. And you know, sometimes if we want to overcome some giants in our lives, the timing that we have in mind is not always the timing that God has in mind. Sometimes it's just different. It's different. And sometimes we rail against God and we say, God, why aren't you doing this thing now? And I think, well, I don't know. But God shapes us in the midst. And God brings us to this place of suddenly trusting him, perhaps trusting him in a new way. If I'm really honest, I feel, you know, Trinity Church has been going for since 2003, 16 years. And I think, you know, I don't know if it's, I believe God is just now bringing us to a new level of fruitfulness in the community and what we're doing and setting, releasing people. And 16 years, that's quite a long time, God. I don't really want it to be that long. But you know, sometimes God takes longer than we want him to. Do you know, sometimes you may feel you've been discriminated against because the way you look, maybe you thought, oh, you weren't pretty enough or good looking enough, or you weren't tall enough, or maybe where you came from, your gender, or, and you think, this isn't right. God, you've got this thing for me. All I would say to you is this: God's promises will not be thwarted. They might take longer, but they won't be thwarted. So the first one was, it just took delay. The next thing, the next giant that David had to face was real discouragement. Everybody was fearful. This is what it says in verse 9. This is Goliath shouting out. He says, I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. And if he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. And I defy the armies of Israel today. Send a man who will fight me. And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and they were deeply shaken. And apparently it wasn't an unusual thing in those sorts of times that, you know, this, you had this valley with two sides of the hill and armies would line up and they would sort of like be sort of staring match sort of thing, but probably with a few arrows being lobbed occasionally. But they would occasionally do this thing of, instead of these armies just coming to this all out war, they would say, look, we're just going to do one-on-one. One-on-one, we're going to have this fight. And the Israelites were petrified. And they thought, we can't do this. This man, this giant, and the Philistines, they were known for being ruthless. And you may be facing some ruthless enemies at the moment. You will do anything to stop the will of God in your life and in other people's lives. And sometimes it just needs this fresh pair of eyes. And then David came in and he said, hang on, we've got God on our side. We've got God on our side. It was really interesting. I listened to Rick Warren, and he was talking about this, and he brought in a guy called Malcolm Gladwell. Now, you may have read some of the books that Malcolm Gladwell has written. He read a book called Blink about the there were four Times bestsellers, so he's a good author. And not Christian books either. Blink, The Power of Thinking. He wrote a book called Outliers, which was it's the nature of success and things like that. But he also wrote a book called David and Goliath. Now, I didn't know that he was a Christian guy, but just the interesting thing is, this is a little bit of an aside. His view on it is that with David and Goliath, David was never the underdog. He was not the underdog. And his big premise is this, that sometimes the biggest giants, the biggest threats that we can see are actually one of their biggest weaknesses. Now, he's got it may be wrong. If it's wrong, then I'm sorry. I don't know if you have known that there are people who have been so like 7, 8, 9 feet tall before in history. You know, and there's a guy in China, and there was an American guy. They were enormous guys. And a lot of those guys had, I think it was a tumor on their pituitary gland, yeah, that caused them to grow excessively. They just, you know, it just kept them growing. But they had one or two failings that when you saw those people, and if you can see them in the Guinness Book of Records, they walked very, very stiffly. So you'll often see them and you think, well, if they're just big, surely everything else is big. But no, there's inherent weaknesses in their bone structure. And so they walk with some trepidation. They're very, very big, but they walk with difficulty. And also their eyesight is failing. They don't have very good eyesight. Medically, that is some of the issues. And Malcolm Gladwell talks about I can't remember the name of the illness. But he then looked in here and he said, do you know what? Goliath had exactly some of those hallmarks. That when he said Goliath walked down the valley, somebody walked ahead of him. He said they were carrying his shield, but they walked ahead of him. And maybe, just maybe, it was because he was unsteady on his feet. Maybe. He then said to David, why are you coming at me with sticks? Well, I don't think David would have been carrying like stick. He may have carried one stick, but he certainly wouldn't have been carrying a whole bunch of sticks because his whole idea was a sling. Well, and maybe it was Goliath's eyesight actually wasn't particularly good. And then Goliath said to David, David, I want you to come over here and fight me. I don't want to be off here, even though he had javelins, but maybe he just wanted David to be standing right in front of him to fight him. Maybe it's because he couldn't see him. Now, the point of it is this. Sometimes we see giants in front of us, but actually sometimes their height is their weakness. That they're not these invincible giants that we think they may be, but actually there is something of weakness in them that they can be defeated. The Israelites, they were just listening to the wrong voices. They were standing there and they were seeing all these Philistines over the other side of the hill, and they were listening to the voices that were just saying, oh, it's too difficult, we can't do it, look at Goliath, we don't know that he's got these failings, but actually he's enormous, he will just eat us for breakfast, and if they come down, they're known for being ruthless and nasty, and they've just had this echo chamber of negativity going on, and they were thinking, no, and they were listening to voices that were robbing them of fear. And you know, I think sometimes how many times do I get into an echo chamber of negativity and listen to people that rob me of a sense of faith and purpose? And you know, so much stuff that you can listen to online and you can see online, the whole thing is built on knocking something down. And if you always listen to things that are knocking other things down, that is who you'll become. It's obvious. If that is the main voice, I guarantee you can have any key Christian leader in the world. And if you search hard enough, you'll find a website that says that they're actually evil and the Antichrist. It's just the way it is, because that's the way some people want to do it. They just want to always knock things down. And I'm just saying, no, the Israelites were listening to the wrong voice. And you know, I think somehow we have to be in this place where we're speaking faith and grace into one another. And, you know, I think also there's this sense of, you know, when in every job or in every walk of life, you can be with people that make you feel inadequate. Okay, well, let's just do a test. Does anybody know somebody that if you go around them, they make you feel inadequate? Jill doesn't. No, Jill. But you know what? I think there was something about, like, some people, some, like, for me, because I'm, like, involved in church, like, church leaders, and I just go and I sit with them and I just think, oh, I am rubbish. I'm the worst church leader ever. Because I'm comparing myself to somebody that I should never be comparing myself to. And I'm trying to be something or be something that God never made me to be. And I can listen to, and we can all listen to the wrong voices. And that is what David came into the situation, and they were listening to the wrong voices. They were listening to voices that discouraged them. And one of the best things that I found, and I encourage people, is, you know, we can say to this thing, you know, find out what your strengths are and play to your strengths. Play to who you are. That's why we encourage people to do whole things like Strength Finder and stuff like that. The next giant that, by the way, I've got four giants that that David had to face, and then we'll do how to actually beat them. The third one, giant that David had to face, was disapproval. Even David's brothers thought he was getting too big for his boots. Eliab, David's older brother, heard David fraternizing with the men and lost his temper. This is from the Message version, by the way, the paraphrase. But what are you doing here? He said to David. Why aren't you minding your own business, tending to that scrawny flock of sheep? I know what you're up to. You've just come down here to see the sights, hoping for a ringside seat at a bloody battle. David was criticized, he was mocked, he was ridiculed, and he said, look, why on earth are you here? And has anybody ever heard anybody say to you, who do you think you are? Now, if you haven't heard that, have you ever said it to yourself? I think probably everybody has said that to themselves. Who am I to do this? Who am I to go and say something here? I think there was a real sense of sibling rivalry with David and his brothers. They didn't actually like David coming in and doing something that actually was full of faith. Do you know, Jesus had sibling rivalry. Do you know what? I think it would have been quite hard to be Jesus' brother. Oh, Mr. Perfect. Yeah. Okay, Mary comes in. Right, who made that mess?
Well, it wasn't Jesus, was it? He was perfect.
You could poke him, pinch him. But you know, but all Jesus' brothers and sisters, they became believers, but it was after the resurrection. It was after the resurrection. But the thing is, Jesus knew that he had a calling and he had a purpose. And you know what? Jesus has got for every single one of us here a calling and a purpose. And you just need to ask, whose approval are you going to go after most? Are you going to go after the approval of your siblings? You know, I have three older sisters. And no, I was not bullied, just so you know. And actually, generally, they were good to me, you know. But that is not the case for all siblings. Sometimes you can have these rivalries and you think, and ultimately, or you want to please your parent or somebody else like that. And I've known people that have wanted to please their parents even after their parents have been long dead. And you end up in an impossible situation. But who are we going to try and please? Are we going to try and please God or man? I'm reading through Revelation, which I'm really, really enjoying. But I came to this point in Revelation 12 when it says that by the testimony of our words, God will be glorified. And it made me think, where have I been silenced? Where in today's culture have I felt, no, I can't talk about that? Where have I been silenced on issues maybe of, you know, gender, abortion, some of these areas which are really delicate? But have I been silenced on those? Have I not allowed myself to say, no, this is right and this is wrong, and try to do it with love and grace? David faced disapproval from his family, but he pressed on through. And then the last one was this. David faced massive doubt. This is what it says. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David said to Saul. "I'll go and fight him." And then this is what Saul said. "Don't be ridiculous. There's no way that you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." And I just need to let you know that the experts are not always right. They are not. And sometimes we need to say, no, this is what God has spoken to me about, and this is how I am going to step into all that God has got for me. I remember years and years ago, there's a guy called Adrian Holloway. I may have mentioned this before. And I was at this point doing lots of youth work across like New Frontiers, and it was great fun and doing lots of things. And Adrian Holloway came and said to me, and it was in some meeting, we were having a little break, and he was saying, look, I feel God's called me to write this book. It's called Aftershock. And I remember saying to Adrian, to be honest, mate, I wouldn't do that if I was you, because nobody reads books anymore. And a few years later, he said, I just need to let you know that it did become a bestseller, that book that I wrote. You know, sometimes people give you advice and it's wrong. And some people, the most well-meaning people, want to say, oh, I really think you should do that. But sometimes, thank God Adrian said, no, this is what God's called me to do, and I'm just going to do it. Even though some people say, no, it might not be the best thing to do. And you know, if we know what God has called us to do, we will face all these things. We will face doubt. We will face all these issues. But somehow we need to press on and say, no. We were just thinking and planning about sermon series for the, you know, for the what we do next year and also the following year after that. And I was talking with Andy and with Clive, and we were just talking about, can we do a series called Himpossible? As in just putting an H in front of the word impossible. I think all the things that we think that couldn't happen, we doubt it. But actually, we just put that H in front. No, Himpossible. No, in Christ, we can do these things. We can. And I just think we need to have this understanding of what has God called us to do and how are we going to do it in faith. I think it's not only other people doubting us, by the way, but I do think sometimes we doubt ourselves a lot as well. If God has said something, what are we going to do? Okay, how do we defeat giants? Four quick areas, and we'll go through these relatively quickly. The first thing that David did was this. He remembered how God had been with him in the past. He says this, but David persisted. And he said, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb for the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. Yes, I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do the same to this Philistine pagan too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. And you know, sometimes we just have to be people that thank God you did it in the past. And because you did it in the past, I'm trusting that you're going to do it again. I do think you're going to do it again. And you know, sometimes if you get into a bit of a financial pickle and you think, oh God, but God, you got it out of us in the past. We're going to trust, you did it then. So I am going to go ahead trusting that you are going to do it in the future. I really, really believe that gratitude unlocks so much blessing. You know, when I didn't say anything about last week going over to the school over there. I hope you enjoyed it. Generally, all the emails that came back were just like really, like very, very positive. There are a few things we've got to just try and work out, but you know, I think, it was very, very positive. And then, you know, I felt, no, we can't just thank whoever it was, the Barnet Council for doing some building work over there. We have to come back and thank God. We have to thank God. No, you did it. Jesus, you did it. You opened the door for us over there. And also, then the big issue is things like storage. We need some storage over there. We need them to let us use all our PA, their PA system, all those sorts of things. And then, you know, if we want to have the main hall, then we want to have the dining hall as well. And we want to have the dance studio, you know, through there. But if we have to pay for all of that, it's going to be quite expensive. And basically, I've just gone back to them and said, look, we need this, 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 and this, and this. And they've come back to me and said, yeah, I think that's okay. Now, I think
that the reason that we have this like sense of favor is because we've been grateful. We've been grateful, and it's almost like the more grateful we are to God, the more he says, well, in that case, here we go. I'll just pour more on you, thinking, how can we get that venue right over there? It probably, I don't know if it's the best school hall. It's certainly the best school hall around here that we could have used. And you think, oh God, you've just done it, and it couldn't have been any closer. You know, oh God, we have to be thankful to God. First one, so David said this, that he remembered that God had been with him in the past and he trusted that he'd be with him in the future. The second thing is that he used the tools and the strengths that God had gave him. Verse 38 says this, then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. And he wandered around and he sort of like tripped up and he said, I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off. And instead, he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. And then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. I think God has gifted every single one of us here with extraordinary gifts. But do you know what? I really don't think that I should try and lead like Pete or Linda would lead. It wouldn't work for me. Or I don't think Jill should lead like I should, or Salmon shouldn't lead like I do. Or, do you know, we shouldn't do it. Please don't copy like the way that I'm trying to do things. But every single one of us has been gifted by God with a unique set of skills and a unique way of doing things. And they, oh, come on, let's release everything that God has given us. I think it's amazing. I don't know if I mentioned before, but Pete Adeli, just talking to somebody in the fish shop, saying, and then talking to somebody that he knew from the past, and then his wife said, "Oh, he's got Alzheimer's," you know, and then he gave this woman his number, and I went to visit him, and Didi, you've been visiting that family, but I just think, oh, but that's the unique gifting that God's given them. Well, go and do it, and who knows what will happen. But it's about these unique things. And David said, I don't want to wear all this Saul's armor. I just can't do it. So he chucked it off and he picked up the things that he knew really well. And what are the skills and the gifts and the abilities that God has given you to bring the kingdom of God in our community? Third thing, we're going to move on quite quickly. That's how I would really encourage you to do that whole Strength Finder. If you don't know what Strength Finder is, just search Strength Finder 2, and there's a test that you can do that will cost you 10 quid online, and it will tell you these are your 5 top strengths. I did it, and it changed the way that I live my life. It's that, for me, it was that helpful. I stopped trying to lead in one way and thought, no, this is how God has gifted me to lead. The third thing that David did was this. He encouraged himself in the Lord. In 1 Samuel 30, chapter 6, it says this, David was greatly distressed for the people spoke of stoning him, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. It is massively important. We've got this point and then one last one to finish with. It is massively important that we learn how to strengthen ourselves. And you might think, okay, well, I really want to go to this conference. I want to go and be prayed for. And I'm really praying that somebody would bring some encouragement to me. You know, we must learn to encourage ourselves. That's called maturity. It's called growing in faith. It's called being able to sit in your room on your own and read scripture in such a way that you hear God speaking to you and bringing encouragement to you. I don't know how, if ever you get yourself into a little bit of a rut, I'll tell you how I get myself out into a rut. I go to that corner over there and I get a book and I read myself out of a rut. You got to. You have to. You cannot rely on other people to sort of like to encourage you and sort of like to, no, you can rely on other people to encourage you. But if you get yourself, you have to take responsibility. No, I am going to get before God. I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to read my Bible until you say something to me, God. And it's just I'm going to hold on to that verse for the rest of the day or for the rest of the week or for the rest of the year or for the rest of your life. You have to do it. And that is exactly what David did. Psalm 56 says this, when I was afraid, I put my trust in you. We have to find ourselves this place of encouraging ourselves. And then lastly, David expected God to help him bring glory to him. Verse 45 says this, David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." I would quite like to say that to some people. It'd be quite funny, wouldn't it? "Today, you will be conquered. I will kill you." Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. "And cut off your head." And then David says this, "And I will give your dead bodies to the... I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give it to us." You know, there are so many things that you did not choose in your life. You didn't choose where you were born. You didn't choose who your parents were. You didn't choose how tall you were. You didn't choose your gender. You didn't choose your nationality. There are so many things. You didn't choose the talents that God gave you. You didn't choose any of those things. That is what God gave you. But there is one thing that you can choose. You can choose how much you trust God in fulfilling all the things that he's called you to do. You can choose how much you trust him. You can choose to be passive and say, God might have something for me. Or you can choose to step into it and say, no, this is what God has called me to do. I remember years ago when we were thinking of planting a church. And I remember Jill and I were talking about it, and we didn't really know. We thought, we need to come and do something, but we weren't really sure. And then I remember there was one point where we had real clarity. And we were just praying. And I remember then going upstairs and writing it down. And I remember Jill was down in the garden. Were you putting washing out or something like that? I don't know. We were doing something in the garden. And I remember leaning out of the window and I'd written it down on a piece of paper. And I said, "Jill," it was about 18 months of thinking, I don't know what to do. And I thought, "I've got it. I know what God's called us to do. It's here." And then we sat down and then we just said, "Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's see what happens." And you know what? There was this sense of faith comes in at that moment when you think, "Well, let's try it. Let's see what happens. We're going to trust God and see what happens and see how he leads us." And do you know what the thing is? I believe that God will say that I will use anybody who chooses to trust me. I will use anybody. It doesn't matter. I will use anybody if they simply choose to trust me. And I believe that there are all sorts of things that in this room here where people are thinking, "I think God has got this for me." Well, it's a trust. It won't always be in the right timing. Just trust me, you know. You think it's going to happen in this timing. It may not be that timing. But God has got some extraordinary things for us. Can I ask you to stand with me, please? Father, we thank you. I'm just going to ask for a moment to anybody who they're struggling with some of those giants of either delay or discouragement or disapproval or doubt. Delay, discouragement, disapproval or doubt. And if you just think those things are pressing in on you, I just want, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And I'm going to pray that as you do that, the Holy Spirit comes and fills you. That you would know what it is to trust him again. To step into a place of faith. Even with timing. God, I thought it was going to be like this. But God says, "Oh, there's another timing. I have another timing for you." Mm. Could I just ask you to raise your hand right now? Holy Spirit, just keep your hands raised, can you all? if nothing else, just to say, God, here I am. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and minister to us now? We want to be transformed people. We want to see some of these giants overcome in our lives. Oh, Father. I want to pray against words of disapproval that have been spoken over you. And when people have said, no, you're no good at this, who do you think you are? God would say to you, no, the question is, who do you think I am? Lord Jesus, I want to pray, just Holy Spirit, come and minister to us. When people have said stuff that has hurt, I want to pray, Lord, we come back to this place and we say, we trust in you. We will trust in you. Your promises will not be thwarted. Father, thank you. And we ask, oh God, for breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Help every single one of us to be the leaders that you've called us to be, not trying to copy somebody else or be somebody else, but be the people that you've made us to be. God, I pray extraordinary freedom in our lives, Lord. And I want to pray for this creative surge across the church, Lord Jesus, of people hearing what you are saying and being obedient and seeing fruitfulness in great abundance, we ask. Come, Lord. Jesus, thank you.